Hi everybody, Tim Emerson of Kuan Yin Healing, and today it is my great pleasure to be introducing to you Alex Baisley of the Big Dream Program. Alex is, oh my god, one of my favorite people in the whole freaking world. He's such an interesting person. Alex, you know, started off over in Ireland, and he was a deep sea diver. And a commercial diver, and that was awesome, except for two small things. Alex doesn't like to be cold, and Alex doesn't like to be alone. So maybe not the best career choice. He ended up in this bizarre career path that brought him to Canada, and he became a Reiki master and other ran a healing practice, and then he started this thing called the Big Dream Program. After having a series of revelations, and that's a whole story in itself. But today we're talking about emotional challenges, and I coming back from Toronto, I actually emailed Alex one day and said, "Hey, I'm swinging through golf. Where you live? Are you free?" And he was. So we had a really enjoyable afternoon and got to meet some family and. I also got to hear some things that Alex did when he was working through depression. Now, I know Alex is like the most upbeat guy in the whole world. And so, you know, hearing this severe depression that he went through and how he pulled himself through it is a really remarkable story. And so I thought this is a perfect thing to talk about in terms of emotional challenges, as that's an area that affects a lot of people. So, Alex... How you doing, man?
Hey, I'm so well, Tim. Thank you so much. I really enjoyed hearing that story. Yes, it was lovely to have you here. I'm sitting on the same couch in the same living room that that you were in here. It was nice to have you that day.
Oh, thank you. It was a great day.
Yeah, I had a heck of a time there, Tim, that you're referring to. Yeah, I've been doing my Big Dream program for quite some time at that point, maybe 10 years, something like that. I'm all about lifestyle. I'm all about energy healing. I practice energy healing with either clients or myself, or both, usually every day since 1999. Meditate every day. Like, I'm the least, I would have voted myself anyway, the least likely person to... all of a sudden find myself in pretty near total burnout and depression. And I felt guilty. I felt ashamed also because my work has been so much about espousing the things that would prevent that, you know. Right. And Jesus, here I am in the exact same bloody position. And it was a hell of a time. And I am grateful for the opportunity to be able to talk about it with anybody who will sit still long enough to listen to it, because what worked for me is not all of those other healing tools that I had. So thank you for having me on this interview, and I hope that for you listening that maybe there'll be something in this for you. I guarantee it'll probably be different than things you might have heard before, and it's worth a shot, I reckon, if you are listening to this and find yourself struggling or living with someone who's struggling. Should I just kind of launch into it here, Tim?
Or yeah, do you please want? Do. Yeah.
Okay. So it started, I'll give you just a brief rundown of the story. It won't only take a couple of minutes, just so you know where I'm coming from. It had started years before, but I didn't know it. It started with me dropping balls. It started with me dropping emails with clients. It started with me not being there at the scheduled time to meet a client, for example, because I totally forgot about it, or I put it in wrong in my calendar. And for 2 or 3 years, I just used to blame myself and also give clients the heads up that I'm just very disorganized. And though there is some truth to that, what I didn't know is that I was starting into burnout. That's why I was dropping balls. And it scared the hell out of me. I depend completely on my income from this business, but I also depend on it's what I love to do. And all of a sudden, if you don't mind the language, I'm fucking it up.
Right.
And it was really scary. And then over that time, I started to, of course, not attract as many clients, or they weren't coming back. A few of them, not a few of them, a couple of them left in a huff because I was just so impossible to get a hold of. I don't blame them one bit. They were absolutely
right.
And I loved them, and yet I found I couldn't be with them in the way that I wanted to inside. And finally, it all came crashing down, Tim. It wasn't one day, but it was probably within a month. It just, you know, the whole, all the balloons fell out of the air, and I just could not do anything. And I got to the point where I'm saying all this not because my story is so interesting. I think some people listening to this might be experiencing something similar.
Yeah.
And I want them to know that they're not alone. So it got to the point where I became socially terrified. I'm an introvert to begin with, but I became very afraid. I could not answer emails. I could barely email people. I could not answer the phone. I couldn't call friends. The idea, it was so bizarre to me at the time, but now I understand what clients were telling me like 10 years prior about troubles they were having. You know, anybody who hasn't been through something like this will often say, okay, here's what you need to do. You get out a list, what do you need to do, and you just get to it. You know, I'll sit by you. We'll make checklists, sort of thing. And my Jesus, that does not work when a person's in a state like that. Didn't work for me at any rate.
Right.
And Tim, I lost, you know, I lost my business. I lost my clients temporarily anyway. I put a huge strain in my family life, my social life. My friends were reaching out trying to help me. And I found trying to talk about what I was going through so incredibly difficult. I couldn't put words to it. I didn't know what was the matter with me. I couldn't explain it. I couldn't tell them what I needed. So they were frustrated with me. And it just felt like a disaster. And on top of that, I just felt guilt for the whole thing. Like, what did I do? What did I do wrong? And what is wrong with me that I can't do this? So that's where I was. And stop me at any time, Tim, if you got questions or if I'm rambling too much. But the long and short of it is that really downtime lasted a year.
Wow.
I was not suicidal like some people are. I still somehow deep down wanted to live and love my life. So I was very fortunate that I didn't have to deal with that on top of everything. But that being said, everything else was shot. And it lasted a year. And I did the only thing that an energy healer can do at times like this. I meditated. I did energy work. I stared at the telephone. I did more energy work. I took myself for walks when I had the energy, etc. I did everything, but none of the tools that worked to bring me to the point in my life that I was so grateful to by then would work for this. And I couldn't. I just couldn't figure out what to do. I felt so sad and helpless. And then I can remember the day that it started to change, which is what I'd like to tell you about. And then if it interests you, I'll teach you how to do.
Cool.
What happened on this day, I was sitting on the exact same couch that I am right now talking to you. It's hard to believe I seem like such a different person. My life is so different than it was that day. But I was sitting on this couch in the morning, maybe 11 o'clock, something like that. And I was facing another day, like the year before it, waking up, wanting to make something of myself and be responsible for my family, pick up my business that I love. Of course, I couldn't do any of it. Too scared to write an email, for heaven's sakes, let alone run a business. And I finally got to the point where I looked at the telephone, thought about the person I should call, knew I couldn't do it, and I said, I just can't do anything. I don't have the capacity to do anything. And that was kind of like this rock bottom-y kind of moment for me. And all of a sudden, it was only a few seconds later, this thought went through my head. I don't know where it came from. And it was, you just brushed your teeth. And so I had just got done saying, I don't have the capacity to do anything. And this talk came through, that basically, paraphrasing, said, "That's true, but you did just brush your teeth." And I felt this little tiny click inside, a little wee tiny thing. And I had little, you know, the goosebumpy things. And then I thought, hang on, I just made a cup of tea. I just walked to the couch. I just picked up a scribbler. I started to realize, after these thoughts started to come to me, that I started to wonder if I had been, I use the term, Fox Newsing myself. If we watch too much Fox News, of course, we think that, or any news for that matter, we think the world is going to hell in a handbasket, and there are serious problems. I'm not trying to make light of them. There are.
Right.
It's just that it's not a balanced view. So at the same time, there's something horrible going on in the world. There's, you know, argue the percentage, but 90 or 95% of humanity are doing, you know, very normal things with each other and getting along just fine and tolerating each other. And 10% of people are doing something so fabulous, it would just rock your world for years if you knew about it. And all we're getting to hear about, of course, on the news is the nasty stuff, right? So it's true, but it's unbalanced.
Right.
And I started to wonder if I had been Fox Newsing myself.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, it's true, I can't write an email, but I did have the capacity to make lunch. It's true, I screwed up all these things in the past. Clients left me. And it's also true that I made supper for my family last night.
Right.
And so I started writing this list. I called it, in the end, afterwards, in hindsight, I called it the capacity generator. I started writing this list. And I wrote down the first line in my page. I wrote down, I have more than enough capacity to, and then I finished the sentence by saying, make a cup of tea. I have, and I wrote it all over again, second line, same thing. I have more than enough capacity to make this, what did I just say, or whatever, brush my teeth. I have more than enough capacity to sit upright. And when I thought, that sit upright, Tim, I thought, hang on. You know, not only am I Fox using myself, I'm being disrespectful in some ways because there are people who would love to be able to sit upright right now.
Yeah.
If I were on my deathbed and there's no more sitting upright for me, wouldn't I fucking love to be able to sit upright?
Yeah.
And so I wasn't forcing myself, you know, gratitude-wise to appreciate my life. That's a great exercise, but hard to do when someone's in depression or anxiety. I would say impossible. But I was sitting upright, and I had just taken note of it. I said, yes, okay. And then I stood up just for the hell of it. Then I sat back down. And I said, I have more than enough capacity to stand up. I have more than enough capacity to sit down. That day, my life started to change, Tim. I wouldn't tell you, I wouldn't tell anybody that it changed in one day. It didn't.
Right.
But that day is when the downward trend into, you know, the rock bottom, whatever, started the upward trend. If the downward trend was me being upright and finally ending up on my back in the mud on the floor, then this was the start of the journey to brush myself off and stand up again.
Mm-hmm.
And it started to work. I couldn't do anything else, Tim, so I kept at it. It's not like I could pick up my business or earn any money or do anything responsible. Yes, I could at least write this list. So I ended up writing, I don't know, I can't remember at the time, but let's say it's 25 lines at that sitting. I started to feel better. And the long and the short of it is that by approximately a couple of months later, I had picked up income again. I picked up some of my business again. I started doing handyman work, believe it or not, in my neighborhood to earn some money because I wasn't quite ready to come out of hiding in my business. I started just being a little more normal again. I started meeting some friends again within 2 months of this. And after a year of nothing, I was bloody thrilled with this. And I ended up doing a lot more with it. Eventually, of course, both clients and friends wanted to know what, you know, what worked for me. And I said the same thing as I would say here, is that depression is a crazy thing. And it means so many things to so many different people. And some people have it so much worse than I do. and I don't think there's any one tool that necessarily suits everybody. But all that being said, this is the only thing that worked for me, and I kept it up. And I kept it up for probably a year, pretty much every day. And then I'm at the point in the years since that I just pick it up when I need it. So something I'm struggling with, I pick up the tool and use it again. So that is the story. And at some point here, I'd love to just get into sharing it and teaching folks how to do it. Should I do that now, Tim, or where are we at?
Yeah, that would be wonderful. And that it's such a remarkable story. And it's kind of like, you know, I'm no neurobiologist, but it almost sounds like what you were doing is slowly and continually like rewiring your brain, or at least your thoughts.
That's what it felt like.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it felt like, Tim. And I will say that for me, again, I'm not saying this for anybody else. I keep saying that because I get that it's a complicated matter. So
right.
Those of you listening, if you try this and it works a little bit, but there's still something else, I get that. But slowly you can piece together some tools that I hope will work for you. And one of my biggest passions about sharing this is that this is a tool that is not because it's mine. I'm sure someone else has thought of this. But it's because it's so rare. This approach is not something I had encountered in 20 years of healing. The closest thing I'd encountered were affirmations or gratitude lists. And they worked. But they weren't robust enough for a problem like this, for reasons that I will lay out here in a bit.
Okay, great. Yeah, let's dig in.
Right, okay, a sip of tea here. What I'd first like to invite you to do, listening to this, is grab a notebook. Grab a notebook, if you can, or loose leaf paper. Ideally, it's full size paper, like 8.5 by 11 or A4. It's just easier for this exercise. Or if you're super savvy and not going to waste too much time on it, then open up a 2-column spreadsheet on your computer. And I would really love it if you consider pressing pause and doing that. Because if you just listen to me, I'm not sure it's going to work for you,
right.
quite
yeah.
frankly. Or it will work for you, but I just don't want you to, you know, be another week, another month getting to it. When times are tough, it's the time that we have the most struggle getting to something. So let me be your carpe diem and just give this a shot. The worst that can happen here is you waste 45 minutes of your life, and I hope you don't. Because we're going to be collecting a whole bunch of your strengths. I think it's nearly impossible, so it's wasted. And on the better side of that scale, that balance, is that this could actually start working within the time we're together here. Okay, so
nice.
Grab that notebook for yourself. And now, I'd like you to, I'll explain more theory and so on later, but let's just get started. If you draw a line right down the middle of the page from the top to the bottom, so you've divided your page in a left column and a right column. Okay, now, line number one on the left column, in the left column, can you write, I have more than enough capacity to, and I'm going to write it right along with you so that I leave you enough time to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I have more than enough capacity to. Okay, now you've hit the line where you're about to finish the sentence in the right column. Hope you understand me there. If you don't, write to me, email me, I'll send you a little template. Okay, so in the right column, we're going to finish that sentence. I have more than enough capacity to, and let's just put brush my teeth, presuming
okay.
Probably did that today. Brush my teeth. And just stop to notice if that's in fact true.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now, this is going to get a little bit tedious, but you got to bear with me, please. Write the left column again, line number two. I have more than enough capacity to. And those of you who are on a computer, if you're copying and pasting, we did a lot of testing. After I came out of depression and started helping people with this and giving it to them, we did a lot of testing over a year, and we found that copying and pasting doesn't work.
Right.
I think that's probably for no-brainer reasons. We need
right.
to repeat the expression of that first bit. So, a tedious, yes, but if it gets you somewhere that you've been trying to get to, fucking worth it, right?
That's
So,
right.
okay.
It's
Number
not
two, I
as
have more than
tedious
enough.
as a year of depression.
You got it. Well said. Exactly. Yes, that's right. That's right. That's almost like going to the gym, Tim, eh? Right? And say, okay, I did one push-up. I got to repeat this? Okay, this sucks. I'm leaving. Okay, I have more than enough capacity to, and now I'd like you to fill in a sentence from your own life. So think about the last hour. What did you do that you just took for granted? One example might be you opened up this web page and are listening to this. Think of one example from your life and finish that second sentence. Okay.
Okay. So I
Now,
made coffee.
yeah, exactly. Well done. Smart move. Okay. We are going to write a few lines like this to give you an overview of where we're headed here. And at some point here, we're going to change the word capacity to something else. So you do have something exciting coming up. All right. In the meantime, we've got to build these push-ups. So line number three, I have more than enough capacity. Two. What is one more tiny thing you've done in the last hour? Like stand up, sit down, something. Write it in. Now, my desire here, folks, is that again, with all of our testing, we did a lot of it. Thousands and thousands and thousands of these lines, all told. And there's kind of a sweet spot we found. If a person does 25 lines of this per day, if it's going to work, it will start to work. We found that if people do less than that, they don't get enough benefit out of it to stick with it. You might be different, you who's listening to this, maybe you're different. For most of us, we found 25 was a minimum. And then if we were in a serious spot and had all kinds of time on our hands and lots of depression and burnout to do with, we were doing more, maybe 50 lines a day. But point of that whole story is that I would like to get you to 25 lines as we talk. But I will also change it up to make it more interesting as we go. Okay, so have I lost track here? What line are we on, Tim? Three or
Three.
four? Okay, so three. Now, finish that sentence. I have more than enough capacity to, and list one more thing that you've just done today. Some simple thing. Okay, and I would like to get to five before we stop. Piece of theory here. Number four, write it again. I have more than enough capacity to. And let me throw one in for you as an example here, or however else you are partaking in this interview, hear or read. And now, if you're listening in a place you can stand up, if not, just do something else physical. For our next line, just before the next line, can you please stand up and then sit down again? If you can't do that, do something that's equivalent for you. And then write the fifth line. I have more than enough capacity to, and finish your sentence with what you just did. Now, give your hand a little break, and can you just take a minute to read through that list? But while you do, just notice the inside of your body as you read it. That's all I ask. I'll come back in 30 seconds or so. Okay. Now, I would love to ask you how you're making out and questions, but we don't have that format for this. And so hopefully Tim will be able to put some contact details for me around this interview somewhere. And please reach out. This is very dear to my heart. I would like to know if you have some kind of a reaction to this or a story.
Alex,
about it.
Alex at
bigdreamprogram.com.
Alex at bigdreamprogram.com.
Alex at bigdreamprogram.com. Okay, so I would like to stop and give your hand a break just for a moment to talk a little bit about theory. What I know is that this list, cured me, basically. I don't use that word lightly. I have not had depression since, incidentally, nor burnout. And so it's in hindsight, and especially after doing it with so many other people, and they're all trying it out in different ways, now we're trying to figure out why it works. So it does seem to work for most. I hope it works for you. And we're trying to figure out why. And I have a few very, I would say, deep or solid understandings about why I think it works. And number one is this. Affirmations probably work, except for two things. One is our mind jumps in at the end of it and says, that's not true. So let's say I'm feeling really, really sad, really glum, and I try to fix myself by saying I'm really happy over and over again. It does work for the odd person. It didn't work for me. And what I found is that my mind, subconsciously even, if not consciously, would just, you know, just didn't believe it, right? So I'm just repeating this thing and feeling, you know, dumb on top of everything. When I wrote, so if I said I don't have enough capacity to do anything that morning, that wasn't true. So I wrote I have more than enough capacity to brush my teeth. That's true. So my mind didn't argue with it. So I wrote another line and another line. And like you just did right now, you read through your lines. There's nothing in there to argue about. They're all true. And so I think it allows our mind to slowly adjust to the fact that, holy shit, I do have capacity. And a lot of, in fact, everything that I just wrote on my list, some people can't do. So it's not a competition between us and other people, but let me at least acknowledge what I can do. And what comes to me so easily, I take it for granted. And the second reason that we feel it probably works is something like this. If I want to build capacity, where do I find it? By looking at the big giant places I have no capacity, well, so far that hasn't worked for me. If I want to build capacity, where do I find it? Where do I find the pieces of it? And I thought, or I learned later in hindsight, that I find it by looking in the very place that's right in front of my nose this whole time, depression and burnout or not, that I didn't think to look. The one friggin' place, Tim, I didn't think to look. I looked all over the world. I didn't think to look here. And it was looking for the pieces to build my capacity, my confidence, right around me in my daily life, in the things that I was so strong at that I didn't think about them.
Yeah.
Noticing the areas that I'm already really strong. I have so much capacity to brush my teeth, to stand up, to make a tea, that I totally took it for granted. So the whole time I'm making the tea, I'm thinking, previously, I'm thinking about how my life is shit, and I'm doing a bad job of it, and what is wrong with me. And now this exercise said, well, those things are true, perhaps. You are messing up some things. What's also true, on Fox Newsing myself, is that I made this tea, and I was so good at it that I just did it easily. A three-year-old could not do that. Other people, for other reasons, can't do that. Okay. I'm talking and talking here. Tim, anything to add?
No, I think it's It's so simple and yet so powerful. It's even when we're feeling so weak and so vulnerable and so helpless that it's like we tend to talk about negative things like it's the only thing that exists. Like everything is wrong. Everything is awful. Everything is disaster. And even if many, many things are, it's not true that everything is. And that's a place to start.
That's what I found. I thought if I want a garden, then I need to go collect plants to put in it, or dirt or something. I need to go collect the ingredients of what I want to build. So again, this is all in the benefit of hindsight, looking back at what this exercise did for me. But what I did starting that morning was I wandered around my house, my day, my past, and I collected the things that I wanted to grow. And it was the areas that I had such high capacity that I didn't think about them. So let's write another 5 lines, shall we?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But just before we do, when I'm teaching this as a course or in my e-kit, I let people get a good 25 or more lines with this wording. I have more than enough capacity to before I change it up. But for the point of our call, I want to give you some variety. So let me tell you what I do later in what I teach.
Okay.
Is I change the first line. So let's say a person comes to me, or you listening, I beg your pardon, and confidence is the word that you're constantly thinking to yourself, I have no confidence for this. I just suck at this. Then let's start a new list. So continue now, line number 6. We're just going to change the wording up a little bit. As you can probably imagine, I have more than enough confidence too. So write that. And you're going to like the next word that we use as well. But let's go with confidence. I have more than enough confidence too. You got that written?
Mm-hmm.
Now, similarly as capacity, what is something that you have been more than confident enough to do today? You got anything? Any ideas, Tim?
Check the mail.
Got it. Check the mail. Now, in case that sounds silly to anybody else, it certainly doesn't sound silly to me. Let me just put that in perspective. Someone who has a deep fear of social anxiety, for instance, or what's where you want to stay in your house and not be seen, that sort of thing,
right.
Going to check the mail can be bloody terrifying, and they may not do it for a week. So noting that, it's true I don't have enough confidence to get on stage and give that talk, but I do have enough confidence to check the mail. Perfect, Tim. Okay, line number 7, I have more than enough confidence to...
Write this email.
Got it. Write this email. And you listening, if you got something else jumping to mind, write it. If not, do it in the next 2 lines. So I'm going to leave you to your own solid devices here to write 2 more lines. So lines 8 and 9. And I'll be back to you in a minute. And, okay, we're getting close to the 2 lines there.
Okay.
Now, and let me give you a 10th line to save you the work. So same idea, we're doing these in batches of 5, as you can tell. I have more than enough confidence to, go ahead. Making you work hard, Tim, aren't I?
Yeah, feed the cat.
Feed the cat. That's perfect. I was going to say I have more than enough confidence to listen to this interview.
Hmm.
So if you have something else, stick it in there. Yeah, your actually feed the cat was a better example, Tim, because it requires some skill that you totally take for granted.
Especially with
But
three cats.
especially with, right, okay, very good, right. This is not a small matter. Okie dokie. So what we have found, little talk here, and then we'll do our next five lines, and they're going to be about health, okay? But a little thing to say here is that we came to term these lines deposits in our capacity account. You could also think of them as building blocks, but it seemed to me, especially again from testing with a lot of people, is that volume is truly all that mattered. Form seemed to matter, but volume matters. So I think if I had written five of these, like, you know, a typical gratitude list style of thing where they ask you to list five things, it totally works. I'm all for it.
Right.
Except for if you need a really something really robust here because you're in a bad way, I'm not sure five lines are going to cut it.
Right.
I'm quite sure, intuitively, looking back, that I needed to get those 25 lines out that first day, or I mightn't have realized how much differently I felt inside. So volume matters, folks. If you stick with that, I have more than enough capacity to, and do that 100 times, that'll be just fine. If you want to change up the words to confidence or something else,
right,
you can do that.
I like your example of the push-up. You know, I tried a push-up once.
That's right, yeah, and I looked in the mirror, and my chest looked pretty much the same as when I started. But, of course, the big silver lining, that's a terrible word to use, but you'll get what I mean, in having a burnout or a depression, yeah, it sucks a lot. It sucks horribly, and yet we often do have a bit of time on our hands.
Right.
So
well,
we have
not only that,
to do an extra.
But similar to your experience, when people experience burnout, you know, people don't go get help because they're on the verge of burning out. People get help for burnout when they've burnt out the second or third time.
Right, got it.
You know, it's been going on for a while.
Right. Yeah, that makes so much sense to me.
And I, as I had a mentor say to me once, when I wanted to fix everything quickly, he goes, Tim, if you walked 10 miles into the woods, it's a 10-mile walk out of the woods.
Right, I love it. That's true, eh? That is true. Okay, let's go on with our next five lines. So I'd like to bring up a new topic now. And when you're listening to this, you might like my topic, and also you can see how it extrapolates to other areas of your life. The underlying question to the words I'm choosing here, and the next one being health, is that when you're finished listening to me and this call is done, I would invite you to, in fact, even make a note of it on your page here right now, is think about the areas of your life you do feel weak in, that you're really stressed about, that are not working. For someone, it could be their health. That could be the primary thing they're worried about right now. For another person, it could be their finances. For another person, it could be their mental health or some story like mine, like their business or their work. They can't do anything. For another person, it could be social. And so capacity kind of works across the board there as a line we found. But you can also just focus on the thing that matters most to you now. So let's use health as an example. And certainly there's none of us that wouldn't appreciate as great a health as we can, regardless of what state it's in right now. Okay, so line number 11. I have more than enough health. And I will talk about rewording that in a moment. I have more than enough health to, what is something that you're healthy enough to do right now?
Stand
so again,
up.
We're kind of mining the same sort of things.
Yeah, stand up.
Stand up, got it. Line number 12. And incidentally, when I said that, I realized that when we did the health thing, We changed the wording up a little bit to sound less clunky. So you can feel free to change this first column wording. Let's try, I am more than healthy enough to. I hear a cat there.
Pick up the cat.
Nice, yeah. Exactly. Yeah, something. So list something there, folks, that you're physically able to do. For me, the first line I wrote in that health thing years ago was to walk down the sidewalk.
Right. I mean, again, like as you say, these are not little things. I know I years ago had an elbow injury, and I would not have been able to pick up the cat.
Oh, got it, eh? So at times like that, you sort of appreciate, it helps appreciate what we take for granted.
Right.
Right, right. Okay, line number 13. Let's imagine someone, Tim, I hope it's no one listening to this, but let's imagine someone in a really, really, really challenging state of health. Sick in some way, okay? For that person, and the same would be true for all of us, would be, that's true. That is true. And yet, what am I still healthy enough to do? Can I open my eyes? Can I listen to this? Clearly, I'm listening to this. So I am, let's write line number 13. I am more, we are on 13, are we not?
Yeah, I have a good example for you. I worked with
what do you got?
I worked with a client once quite a while ago. When we started, she was bedridden, had been bedridden for quite some time, a number of reasons. I don't
want
to share them all, but she, you know, she couldn't turn over by herself. I mean, really bedridden. And we worked together for a month, and you know, her big achievement there was she was sitting up in a chair, and she emailed me and says, when the yarn falls and rolls behind the chair, I can get it myself without calling my brother.
Oh, my God, I got goosebumps, Tim. Jesus.
You know?
Yes.
So I have more than enough health to pick up the yarn when it falls behind the chair.
Oh, my God, that's perfect. That is perfect. Something I'd like to bring up here before we write the next two lines on health, or one line, or wherever I am, is that at no point here am I trying to be Pollyanna. I'm not trying to force myself to be positive. The rest of the day, I'll still be very aware of my weaknesses. I'll be aware of the things that I'm struggling with, probably because they're going to be knocking at my door in some form or other. All I'm trying to do is balance the scale. I'm just trying to say, yes, those things I'm aware of. I'm not trying to ignore them, well, simply because I can't. I'd love to ignore them, but I can't.
Right.
I'm also going to spend a little bit of time here balancing the scale. I mean, writing 25 lines could take, you know, 25 minutes or less sort of thing, so it's not a big commitment in the day to help balance the scale. Okay, so line number 14, I am more than healthy enough to...
bend my little finger.
When
I broke it, I couldn't do that.
Perfect, Tim. You're rocking this. I love it. Okay, bend my little finger. Okay, and now for the 1, 2, 3, 4. We need a fifth line in health, and this time we'll be quiet and let you, the listener, come up with one thing you can think of in the last 10 minutes that you notice you're more than healthy enough to do. And we'll be back in, go ahead and write the line. We'll be back in 30 seconds or so. There you go. What did you just write, Tim? I wrote, I'm more than healthy enough to write, which I just did.
Oh, nice. Nice. I wrote more than healthy enough to stand because when I smashed up my knee, I was completely unable to do that.
Got it. Perfect. Perfect. Okay, so tip here. This is a ninja tip that took us months and months of trials to figure out. That volume of lines is all that really matters. So you're going to have no trouble coming up with 25 lines, but what about the next 25 and the next 25? Folks, it doesn't matter if you repeat the same bloody list over and over again. So I can go to the gym and lift a dumbbell that's 10 pounds, and if I lift it enough, I'm going to have a bigger arm or stronger arm. It doesn't matter the next time if I go lift a different 10-pound dumbbell or the same 10-pound dumbbell. It still works. So if you find yourself running out of things, then, just start repeating things. It's fine. But I give you another super tip, because this tip will make one line suddenly turn into 10 for you. All you need is volume. And our only job here is we're not picking small things just to be easy. We're picking small things for a far bigger reason, a far more important reason. And that is, in my opinion, that we are picking the areas that we are so strong that we take it for granted and don't even think about it.
Hmm.
That's the point of these small things. So they're not to be silly. It's quite the opposite. I don't want to build building blocks, if I have a choice, of things that I can do, but they're really friggin' hard. I want to collect building blocks of things that are so easy I take it for granted. So if I'm the kind of person that can't leave my house because I'm too scared of the outside world, and once last month I went out of the house and it was terrifying and I went to bingo or something, right? You know, I could list that, but that's not quite the spirit of what we're after here. The spirit is, I can do that, but it's really hard. The spirit is, what do I do now that is so easy I take it for granted, and collect 100 of those together. And then I swear to God, when you read through the list, I'm pretty sure it's going to affect you.
You know, there's a time management trick I learned that I think applies to what you're saying here.
Yes.
That I learned from Raymond Aron. That he says, instead of deciding what we're going to accomplish, he goes, you divide each thing into marginal, target, and outrageous goals. And so let's say what we really want is to, clean out the garage. So a marginal goal is one that you can be counted on to do it because you've been observed to do it before.
Okay, got it.
So there's no question that you can do it, because as most goals that people achieve is they achieve either zero, they never start, or they achieve 90% because it's beyond them. They've never done it before. So
yes.
So a marginal goal here would be roll that bald tire out to the curb. I can be counted on
so
to do that.
So that you can complete it 100%.
That's right. There's no question that that can't be completed. And then the target is what you're shooting for. Like, I don't know, bag up 2 bags of trash. Outrageous, you don't even believe can happen. I'm going to clean the whole garage. You can put up shelves, paint it. You can eat off the floor. The similarity here is that you set those marginal goals. It occurs to me that the things we're writing here is I have more than enough capacity to, et cetera, is that these are, in fact, marginal. I just did it. It's observable. It's not something I have to achieve when I'm this state, when I'm feeling so weak and so beaten down. It's not pie in the sky. It's, I think I can, like an affirmation. Or even, I can, like an affirmation, but it's like, I just did. It's a matter of record.
Bam.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that metaphor, that analogy, that parallel. I love it. That's great. Yes, absolutely, Tim. Thank you for saying that. And so I would like to, judging by our time here, we may not get to 25 lines, so I would like to ask you, who are listening, is can you get the 25? Even when we finish our call here, can you get the 25? But before that, I still have more to share here,
mm-hmm.
Okay?
Okay.
But just stick it in your mind as a goal there, a manageable goal, I hope, to finish the 25 lines, regardless of what we get to here. Okay. I would like, what I was going to say is how to, we're going to do the next 5 lines, or some at least, and I'm going to give you a new tactic to get lots of volume real quick. Okay. So the very first thing we wrote on our page there, if you wrote what I suggested, was I have more than enough capacity to brush my teeth. All right. So that's true. But you know what? That's a big task. It actually took several steps. So for the next five lines, what if I say, let's start right away and do it. Line number 16, okay. I'll tell you what to write. Line number 16, I have more than enough capacity to... And now, at least for me, my toothbrush is in the bathroom. So probably it is for you too. So I would say I have more than enough capacity to walk to the bathroom. Line number 17. Incidentally, for you doing this, when the call's over, if you're going to continue this, I'd love it if you did. And I'd love it if you tell me about it. But I suggest having a really nice, tasty beverage for doing this. I mean, any fool can be uncomfortable. Get yourself a really nice tea or a coffee or something else to like make it a date for yourself, right? Okay. Line number 17, I have... more than enough capacity to. What's the next stage in brushing our teeth, perhaps? Pick up the toothbrush?
Open the cabinet, the mirror cabinet.
Open the cabinet, nice.
Right.
Open the cabinet. Okay, so, and you can see where I'm going with that. We can easily create five lines out of that first one.
Mm-hmm.
And so for you finishing your 25 or going beyond that today and tomorrow, then just go to the second line.
Yeah.
And write five on based on what you wrote in the in line number two at the top. The reason to do this again, to reiterate, repeat for the sake of trying to make the point, you know, super clear, is that now you're doing an even better job of this. Because you're choosing items that you have so much strength that, of course, you took it for granted. you took brushing your teeth for granted nearly, but at least you were conscious of it. But in brushing your teeth, there were at least five subconscious steps that were so friggin' easy for you, you didn't think about it, didn't notice it.
Yeah.
So now we're collecting extreme strength here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you can see where I'm going with that. I want to give you one more wording before we, you know, spend a little bit of time finishing off here, because I think you might like it. Some people, I like the word, I like capacity, I like health, I like confidence. And for me, because at that point I was feeling so not successful, I'm not usually this guy that's chasing success. I don't write books about success, that sort of thing, right? But nevertheless, at that point in my life, that was the one thing I felt the most not was successful.
Yeah.
And so let me give you a new line that you can use if you like it like I did.
Mm-hmm.
Line number, where are we at? 18. Just write this. I am so successful at...
Breathing.
Heck with it. Write one more line. Number 19. I am so successful at...
slipping on my shoes.
Perfect. Pause for a moment as you write that. And just notice... if that has a feeling inside that you like. Is it doing something inside when you write that? If not, fine, just keep going on with the lines. But if that word or something like it kind of hits somewhere inside, use that for 5 or 10 or 100 lines. Okay, so there we go. I originally had not written this in two columns. I got that very first day sitting on the couch here. I probably got to 10 lines or so, before I started to realize there was an advantage in dividing my page, it was for when I reread it. It's for when my eyes glanced over it. Instead of just a bunch of writing, I saw that sentence on the left side over and over again, and my mind felt subconsciously, oh my God, it's true. When my eyes scanned over the right column so easily because it's divided this way, I suddenly had a list of everything I had accomplished that day or in the recent past. And it changed me, Tim. It changed me inside. I feel actually a little teary now when I'm saying it.
Nice.
It changed me inside. And I don't know if this is going to work for you. I don't. I so hope it does. And more than anything, it's so easy to try this for a couple of days that if you feel at all inspired, if there was even the slightest tickle inside from this, give it a shot. If you want to use me for accountability, then tell me you're going to write to me. Send me an email. Say you're going to write 250 lines. And then I won't hold you to it, but you just email me afterwards then when you complete it. You know, anything I can do to help you here. Or I do have an e-kit. Can I plug that? But anyway, there's an e-kit if you
sure,
want.
Sure, absolutely.
Regardless, this was one of the most important times in my life. I'm glad I can talk about it now. And so last thing I would say here, I've been talking about myself. So the last thing I would say here is, can you just scan over your page right now? You don't have to think anything exactly, but just let it soak in for half a minute. And maybe think, what if I've been Fox Newsing myself? And I think that's about it. Now, Tim, I could go on for another hour, and I would enjoy it. But I think we have to wrap up here somewhere. Do you have, I don't know, questions, or is there something I've left out, Tim, or a reflection that you would have, or how does it feel to you?
I would just add that it's, and just when we're not feeling well, we tend to think of all the reasons why, you know, what's the point, that won't work, etc. And I guess my bottom line point would be, you know, you've mentioned several times, you don't know if this will work for me, but it sounds to me a damn sight better than sit around going, my life sucks.
That's exactly right. And that's how I felt too. I was certainly way beyond optimism or being Pollyanna. I was long past feeling, trying to force positive. That wasn't work. You're right. It's just a damn sight better than what I was doing before. And in all seriousness, I knew full well I was going to think about the things that that weren't so positive in my life the rest of the day anyway. Look, I might as well take a few minutes out to do this. Incidentally, I liked doing these in shifts. I tended to do all my lines at once. You know, one good big hot cup of tea, do a bunch of lines. A few others in the group were not like that. They were dabblers. Can't think of a better word. So they would keep a list or a journal or something open, and by the end of the day, they would have filled out their 25 lines. So they went up and they went to the bathroom. I don't know. They went and made something to eat. They went for a walk. They came back and listed it. And then when I taught them how to take one thing like a walk and break it into five things, they were easily able to get to at least 25 lines. But anyway, that to say for you, depending on your personality, are you a go for it or are you a dabbler? If you are, then just keep your page open there and don't fight with yourself. But by the end of the day, you could probably have your 25 lines.
Right. Yeah, it's simple and it's elegant and obviously was successful.
It was. We had other lines, and I can't stop talking here. We had other lines that you might be interested in. We use love, for instance. Someone that doesn't feel like they have enough love in their life, or they're trying to find romance, or they're living with people that they're having struggling relationship-wise or something. We tried various words like love. I have more than enough love, too. So it's true this person is not being nice to me, but it is true that they smiled yesterday once.
Right.
So that sounds super silly, but when I worked with people one-on-one on this, I haven't yet met anyone that we haven't been able to find enough items to build love. And it doesn't even have to come from that relationship. Let's say the person's in a relationship and it's just not good at all, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then, but I'm trying to build love in my life. I don't know if I can fix this relationship or if I just need out of it. I don't know. I can't figure that out. What I do know is that I'm going to go collect love wherever I can find it. And so I'm going to notice love when I see it on the television. I'm going to notice love. I've one of my children just coming in the door here. Hi, just on the phone. And so I'm going to go collect the thing. We tried it with other words like health, of course, we did. Tried it with money. So it's true I don't have enough money to pay this bill. But is it also true that I have more than enough money to buy this cup of coffee? Is it true that I have more than enough money to buy a 2-cent candy? I should know. So, in other words, we can write a list. A person who has very little money, they could take that one coffee and turn it into 100 items by saying, I have more than enough money to pay 1% of this coffee. I have more than enough money to pay 2% of this coffee. So you can take the one thing and start building strength around it. I can't get stopped here, Tim. I'm sorry.
Is that a request
anyway,
for help?
Not to help people. Start with capacity. Start with the words that we have, but just to know that in my teachings, in my e-kit, or just from what I've said right there now, is find other words that appeal to you, things that you're trying to grow, things that you feel helpless or weak at the moment, and maybe see if you can go collect them in all their tiny bits.
Alex, thank you so much for sharing all that. And I know you and I have talked about this, and I've certainly seen your e-kit and so forth. But I don't think we ever sat down and actually went through the whole thing like this. So it's
no, we did not, Tim. We did not. I'm awful grateful for the opportunity. Thank you for letting me share this with some people that wouldn't maybe know of me or see it otherwise. I really, really hope that something in this helps.
Yeah, and for those who want to learn more about Alex, go to his website, bigdreamprogram.com. Don't let the name scare you, because Alex specializes in small dreams. wonderful thoughts there, Alex. Thank you so much for sharing both your experience and the process.
You're so welcome, Tim. As I say, if anyone wants to reach out, please do. I'll try to help you as I can.
Right.
And I hope you have a wonderful day. And I hope you finish your 25 lines. I'm like a piano teacher now, right?
Finish your 25 lines. Practice half an
hour. All right, Tim. I'll sign off, and thank you so much.
Okay. Thank you, Alex.
Take care. Bye.
Hey, bye. Okay, just a remarkable story from Alex Baisley, the Big Dream Program, about the capacity generator. So years before, Alex had found himself kind of dropping balls in the air, as he described it, not answering client emails, missing appointments, and he told himself, geez, I was just really disorganized. But he realized much later that he was actually burning out. And when this happened, he was it was a problem. He had clients who left. He stopped attracting new ones. He was scared. It was both his income and it was something that he truly, truly loved doing. And so when he finally had a crash, that happened over a month, he was down for over a year. And he felt like he had no capacity, which is where the name of the capacity generator and the process that he shared with us comes from. So it occurred to him today, when I thought I have no capacity, he says, well, I did just brush my teeth. I did just get tea. I did walk to the couch. And so he found himself saying that, he's been, given himself all the bad news, when in fact there's also good news. So he started off doing this series of lists. I have more than enough capacity to, and then filling in the blank and just writing that upright. Even if there were things like sit upright. And as we mentioned on the call, I mean, it's we take that for granted. You know, many people can't easily or sit upright. And so while gratitude lists are a wonderful process, Alex found that things like gratitudes and affirmations didn't really work when you're in depression and kind of feeling the pointlessness of everything. So he very slowly, started pulling himself up. He worked as a handyman for around his neighborhood and started an upward process. And both clients and friends started asking him, what worked to pull himself out. Now, Alex is very clear. He's not saying that depression is a one-size-fits-all problem or solution, but it's what helped Alex. And he kept at it for 1 year. And even today, he picks it up when he needs, kind of a rewiring of his brain. And then he walked us through the whole process. He said, write at least 25 lines. I have more than enough capacity to, and then fill in the blank. Simple things, but things that you have noticed you've done. Looking at our daily life, things in which we are strong, even if they seem like little things. And then he went on with different wordings. I have more than enough confidence to, and then again, little things, and then making lists there. He calls these deposits in the capacity account. And he says, more important than what you say is the volume, that you don't just do, five, but you do 25 or 100 or 250. What are the things that's really mattering most to you right now? Health, finances, social concerns. So he used, for example, health. I have more than enough health to, et cetera. I have more than enough capacity to. I am so successful at. I have more than enough love to. Lots of different ways to do this, whatever our areas of concern. And Alex also invited everyone, if you needs, let him know that you're doing this, and if you need some support, send him an email at alex@bigdreamprogram.com. And I know Alex well enough to tell you that he means that. If you just want to let him know I'm starting it, or you want to be accountable, say I'm going to write 250 lines, and then send them to him when you're done, or even just, hey, I didn't do 250, I did 100 though, and send him that. Really, just a way to start to turn things around and move things forward. I think it's a wonderful, wonderful, ingenious process, and I'm really hopeful that it helps people who need it the most. Take a look, and you can find, by the way, he has an e-kit. It's at thebigdreamprogram.com, as well as the other work that he does. Okay, take care, everybody.